This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wahdah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات وقال تعالى وربك يخلق ما يشاء ويختار وقال تعالى أيضا ولا تحسبن الله غافلا عما يعمل الظالمون صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we hope that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our gathering today, accept my speaking and accept your listening. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the inspiration to be able to practice upon the noble precepts that has been taught to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our beloved Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, we know that today is the eve of the 10th of Muharram, and it is among the blessed days in the year. Allah Ta'ala in the Quran says in the ayat which I have recited, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. Allah Ta'ala creates whatever He wills, and Allah Ta'ala chooses from what He creates. So Allah Ta'ala grants superiority of certain things over others. Allah has created millions of people, billions of people. The superiority of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over all humanity is all known. Then also within humanity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants superiority of some over others. Allah, there are so many nights in the year, but the night of Laylatul Qadr has superiority over all other nights in the year. There are 7 days in the week, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted Jumu'ah superiority over all other days. So Allah makes mention of this concept. I have created whatever I will and I choose. I grant superiority of one over the other. And why Allah does so? Allah knows. We don't need to have, there might be certain reasons which Allah Ta'ala has. But in reality, it is something that is selected. We don't have a say in this to say, why must this particular day be more superior to other days? It is Allah Ta'ala's selection. It's not an election. It's a selection. So Allah Ta'ala selects. Sometimes you and I will go out on the day of tomorrow, which is the day of Muharram Ashura. We go out the next day, we won't see any physical difference between a day that is blessed and a day that is not blessed. But Allah Ta'ala has granted it, that particular blessedness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted certain days blessedness. The day of Muharram is blessed, the 10th day of Muharram. In fact, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never used to wait and so eagerly anticipate the fasting of any other month other than the fasting of the month of Ramadan, other than the month of Muharram. Before the month of Ramadan's fasting was for us, fasting on the 10th of Muharram was for us. So all of these virtues are tied to the 10th of Muharram. And there are many other reasons. Allah knows best with regard to those reasons. I'm not going to go much into a detail with regard to the blessedness. The ulama perhaps during the past Jumu'ah might have made mention with regard to it. I just want to speak a little bit on one aspect with regard to the blessedness and then speak about the Mubarak life of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And from the very outset, let me also make mention that the blessedness of the day is not tied or is not, it's not because of the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We have to make mention of that from the very outset. Because the blessedness of the day was even before the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the time of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about the blessedness of the day way before the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So the blessedness of the day is not because of the martyrdom. Perhaps maybe Allah chose this blessed day for his martyrdom. Allah knows, and Allah has his wisdom and his reasoning which we cannot fathom. One point that I would like to make mention is that we all know that when our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to know about that the Jews, one of the aspects with regard to the 10th of Muharram is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivered Musa alayhi salatu wasalam from the tyranny of Fir'aun. So the Jews also used to commemorate it in some way. So when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to know about it, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said an amazing statement. He said, we are more worthy of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam than what they are. So this is a very important statement. It's a matter of aqidah and belief. Sometimes we make this mistake and we feel that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are the great people or the great Anbiya of other religions. No, we have a greater right and we are the proper custodians of the teachings of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam more than any other religion, we believe. It's not as if Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is the Nabi of the Christians, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is the Nabi of the Jews. No, where do we get that from? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is known as the patriarch, or he is the Nabi of all the other religions. Ma kana Ibrahimu Yahudiyya, wala Nasraniyya, walakin kana Hanifa Muslima. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was not a Yahudi, he is not a Nasrani, he is not a Jew, he is not a Christian, he is a Hanifa Muslima. He is a Muslim, and a Muslim is one who submits to the will of Allah and whose life is a life of greater submission than the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So we have to keep this in mind. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, we are more worthy of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam than anyone. Therefore, we will keep a roza, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam expressed the desire, if Allah keeps me alive, the next year I will keep one day more fast. They will keep one, we will do for two, either the 9th or the 10th or the 10th or the 11th. 9th or the 10th is more fazilat and more virtuous, but it is also permissible to keep the 10th and the 11th. Now one important point is, why is the differentiation? Why do we need to differentiate between them keeping one roza and we keeping two rozas? Now this is very important, and this point I just want to very briefly touch upon before I go and make mention with regard to the life of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. Why Islam, as Allah in the Holy Quran has told us, allows an accommodation for good relationship within a framework. That framework that it does not in any way creates a situation that all religions are equal, or it does not create a situation where it impacts upon our belief, or it impacts upon our closeness to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala in the Quran emphasizes good relationship with people of other faiths. لَا يَنْهَكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ. Allah does not prevent you with regard to those non-Muslims who are not hostile with you on the basis of your religion, who do not expel you from your homes. Antabarruhum, you must be kind and courteous with them. The word that is used here is bir. And the word bir in the Quran and Hadith has been used to also speak about our relationship with our parents. Birrul walidain. You've seen it. Kindness to your parents. That word bir has been used to be kind to non-Muslims who are not hostile to you, who do not expel you from your homes. Inna Allah yuhibbul muqsitin. Allah loves those who are kind and who are just. Anyway, that's a different topic on its own. I'm just giving an example. But Islam is very sensitive about its distinctive identity. That it must not be that we have a situation where we feel that there is no distinction between religions. No, we believe there is a distinction. We believe Islam is the religion. Inna deena inda Allah al-Islam. The deen in the eyes of Almighty Allah is Islam. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَا يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. That whoever chooses a religion other than Islam, we believe it will not be accepted from him. We believe Islam is the religion of truth. With T, with a capital T. And we have to keep this in mind. And another aspect is, and that is why Islam is so sensitive. When our beloved Nabi Kareem, I just give an example. We all know that there are three types. We are not allowed to make salat. We are not even allowed to make sijda. Sunset, sunrise, and zawal. Right? And the reason amongst that is, that previously the people who used to worship the sun, they used to worship that time. Someone sees a Muslim worshipping that time, he could feel that perhaps they are imitating those people who are worshipping that time. To create a distinction amongst one of the reasons why we don't worship at that time. To create a distinction between the people who worship the sun. Nabi Kareem sallallahu, normally in the Quran, whenever Allah Ta'ala addresses the believers, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. When Allah Ta'ala addresses believers and disbelievers, Allah says, Ya ayyuha an-nas. There is a one place where there is a departure from this norm. And how did this departure come about? That when our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day the Quraysh came, the people of Makkah said, we are prepared to accept Islam, only accept our idols. One riwayat, just put your hand over our idols. Just put your hand over our idols, then we will become Muslims. Allah Ta'ala at that particular time said, Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. Departure from the norm. O kafirin, O disbelievers, we do not worship what you worship. And in your present state of mind, we don't expect you to worship what we are worshiping. There's a distinction. So we are very clear about our distinctive nature, that we are different in terms of our religion. And Allah, therefore, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, clear, make a distinction. And imitation, imitating other cultures and other civilizations is a very serious thing in Islam. You all heard the hadith, ulama have made mention of it many a times, man tashabbaha biqawm fahuwa minhum. He who imitates a nation becomes one of them. It's not only a moral hint or a moral command, it is a reality, an objective reality. When you start imitating one nation in something that might be small, you progressively start imitating them in other things, and it can become dangerous. Therefore, the ulama of the past, they were very... You see, the ulama, one of the things that they used to do, Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayhi, is one of his great strengths was his chapters, how he entitled his chapters. One of the great things about Imam Bukhari, which distinguishes his compilation of hadith to the other books of hadith, is how did he entitle his chapters? So when the ulama used to speak, where do we put Babu Tashabbu? The chapter on imitating other nations. They used to put it under the broad category of Babul Irtidad, the chapter on apostasy. Because once you start imitating a nation in one thing, it might be something small. It might be in their etiquettes, it might be in their ethics, or it might be something. Of course, there are certain ethics that are global. Honesty is always. But if you start imitating a nation in one thing, you can progressively start imitating them even in their thoughts and ideas, which can take you out of Islam. Imitation is a sign of inferiority. You never imitate something that is inferior, you only imitate something that you regard as superior. That is why it is said that imitation is the most sincerest form of flattery. Because once you start imitating a nation, you are telling them that they are better than you, even if that small thing. So we have to be very careful with regard to it. And it's something that we have to keep in mind. Imitation is a form. Ibn Khaldun rahmatullahi alayhi went to Spain just before the fall of Spain. And Ibn Khaldun is one of the greatest sociologists who studied societies. And he said, I could see the downfall of Muslims in Spain towards the end of Muslim rule when I saw them imitating the other nations. And I said that this is going to be the downfall of Muslims in Spain. So that is why I'm just giving an example with regard to why did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we will oppose, we will not keep one rosa, we will keep two rosas. What is the wisdom in that? Understand the wisdom. Another aspect that I would just like to make mention with regard to it is, now we talk about the grandsons of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there's one thing we need to withdraw inspiration. There's no doubt we draw inspiration from great events, great people. وَكُلَّنْ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. All the incidents that we have made mention in the Holy Quran, it is only to strengthen your resolve upon faith. We all, when we hear in incidents of the great people of the past, Ambiyari Musalatu wasalam, the Sahaba Ikram, we all draw inspiration. It makes us steadfast upon Iman. So therefore we are making mention of the Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. As I made mention from the very outset, 10th of Muharram is not blessed because of the martyrdom of Hazrat Hussain رضي الله تعالى عنه, though it could be vice versa as I mentioned. Brothers, Hazrat Hassan and Hussain رضي الله تعالى عنه are very, very special in our eyes. They are very great people. One mistake we must never make is that when we oppose a particular group, we must never, because of the opposition of that particular group, and here we're talking of a group that we all know, that the Shias, it doesn't mean that we must undermine the family of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Brothers, this is a family that you and I, we pay tribute to in every salat of ours. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Every namaz we pay tribute to the family of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One is the closeness and their own status being the family of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The other point is, and a very important point at that, whenever Islam required sacrifice, the family of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were in the forefront to offer that sacrifice. It was not as the way we find today nepotism. The family of the politicians, the family of the people who are the leaders, they are benefiting from the leadership of their close family members. It was never like that in our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the family of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she used to do all the domestic chores on her own, even grind the flour. And all of that, which today, you know, we have different things. Today we have Magimix. That time there was no Magimix. Huh? That time they used to do all the grinding themselves. And it used to be quite a task. So when there were slaves that were being distributed by our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha went. And she saw that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very busy. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was dealing with the distribution of the slaves. She came away. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very close to Fatima. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to be, when he came back from any journey, the first place he used to go to Fatima. Huh? And this is something amazing. In a society where daughters were being buried alive, when Hazrat Fatima used to come into the room, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to get up out of respect. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to kiss her on her forehead and he used to put her next to her. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so close to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. But you see, so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to Fatima. Oh Fatima, you came, what was the reason? Ya Rasulullah, I saw you distributing slaves and you know I have a difficulty and I thought that I will get slaves. It's a slave that will help me in my domestic task. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do? Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, oh my daughter, there are other people who are more worthy. You read 33 times, subhanallah. You read 33 times, alhamdulillah. 34 times, Allahu Akbar, to help you in your domestic task. When the time came to sacrifice, he didn't say, give my daughter first. He made her read Tasbih Fatimi. And the time came at the time of the Battle of Badr, when of course, at that particular time, the three famous warriors of the Quraysh came out. Hal min Mubariz, is there anyone who will compete with us? Long story, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who did he put first? He put his uncle, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu. He put his cousin and his son-in-law, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. He put them to fight. He didn't say, Marud Jamai, my son-in-law, Marud Poirinu Utai. What will happen to my daughter? He put his son-in-law to go and fight in the first instance. So when our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whenever there was time to make any sacrifice, the grandchildren and the family of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were in the forefront. Therefore, they've always retained great amount of respect in the Ummah, in the annals of the Ummah, whenever. You know? So this was something that happened. There was a Khalifa at the time when he came into the Haram. No one was giving him way. So he tried to come. It wasn't that time when there was bodyguards, etc. And you know, the people who were in the royal, the stuff were given in a bodyguard. So then, all of a sudden, while he was there, he wasn't Zainul Abidin, the son of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, came. And everyone just cut and gave him way to make the tawaf out of respect, not out of force, out of respect. So he felt very bad and he said, who is this? That I'm the Khalifa, no one is giving me way. And here is Zainul Abidin going through and people are just giving him way to make tawaf. So the poet Farazdak was there. He sang such beautiful poetry. You say, you don't know this man? He's the family of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then he sings poetry in praise of the family of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Someone saw Farazdik in a dream after he passed away. Farazdik, how did Allah Ta'ala treat you? Now Farazdik was not known for his piety. There are many, many amazing stories with regard to his life. But anyway, someone saw him in a dream and said, how Allah treated you? He said that poetry that I did in favor of the family of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah forgave me. The family of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we must always be in the forefront of showing respect to the family of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In our opposition to other groups, we never undermine this family. This is a family we send the root upon in every salah. Another Hassan and Hussein, they were very, very close to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They were so close that you can't, sometimes you think and you say, Ya Allah, a great Nabi of Allah, how did he bring himself to the level of having so much of love for his grandchildren? Especially Hazrat Hassan al-Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Arabs used to find it very, very difficult, they found it against manhood, to embrace their children and their great-grandchildren, or the grandchildren. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to embrace and used to love his children. Ikra bin Habis radiallahu ta'ala came past when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was hugging his grandchildren one day. And he said, what is this? I never saw this. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what must I do if Allah Ta'ala took compassion out of your heart? To have love for your grandchildren is part of having, you know, compassion. And anyone who has been a grandparent will know it. Allah Ta'ala always keep our children and our grandchildren always safe from all calamities. You know, I realized it when I became a grandparent. They say that being a grandparent fills the space in your heart which you never know was empty. Being a grandparent fills a space in your heart which you never knew was empty. Only when you become a grandparent you realize it was empty. So anyway, that is something that we come to know. Anyway, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had this. One day Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba said, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was all fours, his knees down, his hands, and his grandchildren were playing on his back. And Sahaba wanted to intervene, leave them. Ibn Abi Layla said, one day I came and we were sitting with Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One of the grandchildren of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was on his stomach and he passed water and he messed the clothes and the stomach of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sahaba became, you know, perturbed because they wanted to serve Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they rushed forward. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, just leave my grandchild alone, don't tell him anything. Leave my grandchild alone, don't tell him anything. Sahaba said, one day, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was performing salat, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took very long in sijda. And we thought, Ya Allah, what is happening? Why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam take so long? Is there something that happened? And then afterwards we realized that the grandchildren were praying upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's, you know, back while he was in sijda. And because of the grandchildren, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't want to disturb them. We all know of the very famous incident that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was on the minbar one day. And when Hassan and Hussein came, they were small children and they were dressed well. And they came and when they came into the masjid, they started stumbling, you know, and they were falling because they were still small. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got off the minbar. And he ran towards them and he brought them and he embraced them. And he put them next to him while he was giving the sermon on the minbar. And he said, Allah has spoken the truth. Innama amwalukum wa awladukum fitna. Your children are a trial to you. Your love for your children will make you sometimes do something that is wrong. Be aware that your love for your children doesn't take you away from the right path. It keeps you, you know. This was one of the most amazing incidents I read. Muhammad Ali As-Sa'dawi has written a book on his Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And it's a beautiful book. And in there he's written one incident. That one day Marwan came to Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu was resting and Marwan came to him and Marwan was at that particular time the governor of Medina. Now, he was the most important person in Medina, the governor of Medina, and he said, Abu Huraira, you show so much of respect and, you know, admiration for Hassan and Hussein. I'm the governor of Medina, you don't show me respect. So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu was lying down and he got up and he said, Marwan, Just be careful what you are saying. Do you know why I love these grandchildren? Do you know why I love Hazrat Hussein? Hazrat Hassan, let me give you an incident. He said, one day we were going on a journey, and Hassan and Hussein was crying. They were crying. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and he entered the tent. And he said, why are my grandchildren crying? You know, there was one day a trustee of ours in the New Town Masjid where I am now for many years now, almost 30 odd years. So one day he told me, he said, when my children used to cry, it never used to perturb me. When my grandchildren used to cry, I used to get angry with my daughter and them, and my children. Why are the grandchildren crying? Why don't people do something? So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why are the grandchildren crying? Why don't you do something to stop their crying? So Hazrat Fatima said, they're crying because they are hungry and they are thirsty. There is no water, there is no food. It was part of a journey that there were some challenges. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes one wonders, that did Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I was hearing one scholar say, did he show extra love to them in their young age because he had some sort of perception that what's going to happen to them when, in later years? That he showed them all the love in the beginning stages of their life? Wallahu alam, Allah knows best. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bring them to me, bring them to me. And he put Hazrat Hassan and Hussein on his left. And he took out his tongue. And he told my grandchildren, suck my tongue. Now Allah knows best, was it only the sucking of the tongue to give them some sort of sabr and patience because of the thirst, to quench the thirst? Did Allah Ta'ala put something in his mouth, that his tongue, that they got some form of nutrition or what? They kept quiet. So Murara said, Marwan, I've seen this happening. Hassan and Hussein, this is the reason why I love them. My dear respected brothers, these are the grandchildren. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to call them the flowers of Allah Ta'ala. These were very great people. It's part of our iman to love them. What type? Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Husaynu minni wa ana min al-Husayn. I am part of Hussein, Hussein is part of me. And Allah love those who love them and dislike those who dislike them. Hazrat Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, when they used to stand together, they used to resemble Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala's upper body used to be like Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The lower part of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's body used to be like Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. When Hussein radiallahu ta'ala used to walk, his walking used to resemble Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The upper portion of the body was Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala. And all the Sahaba showed greatest of love for them because of they saw Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's love. Once Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, while they were walking back from Uhud, Hazrat Hussein was tired and he sat down. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala went to rub his legs because of his tiredness. And Hussein said, Abu Huraira, you are senior to me, what you are doing? Abu Huraira said, you are the greatest person alive on this earth at this particular time. Once he entered into the Haram, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala was there and he said, in this particular time, there is no one more greater than this human being. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, in his time of Khilafat, showed such great respect. One day, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, at the time after Asr was coming out. So when he came out of the masjid, there was Ali radiallahu ta'ala was with one of the grandchildren, and Nabi with his child, with the grandchildren of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala smiled and said, oh Ali, they resemble Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam more than what they resemble you. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu smiled. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala showed greatest amount of respect to Hazrat Hussein. He told Hussein and Hassan Hussein, whenever you want to, you come to me directly. Whatever your needs, whatever you want. So one day they came, the grandchildren of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came. They saw he was busy with people. The governor of Syria, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala was there. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala was waiting, you know, for Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala's attention. They felt that Hazrat Umar is busy, so they walked away. When they walked away, when he saw them, he went to them afterwards and said, why did you people walk away? They said, oh Amirul Mu'mineen, there were other people, and we felt that we are going to, you know, impose upon you when you have other people. He said, no. Whenever you come, I will give you precedence. Even if there is someone who is there, you still come. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to give them the highest amount of stipends from the Baytul Mal. Give them equivalent. You see, there was, and this tells you sometimes there is a rank that we have to sometimes respect. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu used to give stipends according to the ranks. The highest rank that he used to give were the people who participated in Badr, because they are the greatest in terms of the Sahaba. So he used to give Hazrat Hussein that particular type of stipend. So one day Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu came and said, they are my age. Perhaps I took part in more expeditions in the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam than them. Why are you giving them more? And Umar radiallahu anhu rebuked his son. And he said, oh my son, be careful what you are saying. Your grandfather is not the Nabi of Allah. Your mother is not Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. This is the family that we send darood upon in every namaz. I have given them that stipend because of that status that they hold. This was Umar. He's take it away from these particular groups who tell us that there wasn't this particular type of, you know, respect between the Sahaba and the Ahlul Bayt. There was a greatest amount of respect. There was a greatest amount of, you know, respect for the positions of one another. Ali radiallahu anhu one day told his students, who is the most bravest of all people? So Ali radiallahu anhu was known for his bravery. Everyone know Haydar al-Qarrar was known for his bravery in the battlefield. So everyone said, oh Ali, you are the most bravest. So Ali radiallahu anhu started crying. He said, I'm not brave. Brave is Abu Bakr. I'm not brave. Brave is Abu Bakr. He said, what do you mean? He said, one day the leaders of the Quraysh came and they were beating Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam up. And we were there. We couldn't do anything because of the power that they wielded, the authority that they had. We couldn't do anything. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to know about it. They were strangling Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr ran and he separated them from Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "Ataqtuluna rajulan ay yaqula rabbi Allah?" Are you going to kill a person because he says Allah is my Lord? How dare you do something like this? He said, we couldn't do anything. Abu Bakr did it. He said, I'm not brave. Abu Bakr is brave. He said, after Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time came, when we had to fight the murtad, we have to fight the apostates, those who have walked away from Islam after the death of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we all were wavering because of the serious challenges that faced us. And it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu who said that those people who make a distinction between Salat and Zakat, I will fight with them. I will make jihad against them. He showed bravery, and his bravery gave us that particular inspiration to fight against them, and Allah Ta'ala granted us victory. So this was the respect that they had for one another. In the time of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we all know that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the latter first portion of his khilafat was full of barakah and blessings. That Sahaba and the Muslims never ever saw such barakah and blessings that they saw in the first phase of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu's khilafat. They used to be from the Baytul Mal butter and ghee given free to the people. That was in the time of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. How could the enemies of Islam see this prosperity? How could they see the barakah of Islam? So they started planning, and the latter portion of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu's khilafat came because of the fitna that was created by the founder of Shiism, right? Abdullah ibn Sabah. But in this, let me give you an example. Despite that fact, Hazrat Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there was a need to fight in the North African expedition. Abdullah ibn Sa'd ibn Sarah was a general. He asked Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu for reinforcements to take Islam to North Africa. So Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu called the Sahaba. Hazrat Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu took part in the jihad. In the time of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they went to Fustat, which is present day Cairo. From there they joined the army of Abdullah ibn Sa'd ibn Sarah and much of North Africa. It is amazing. Islam conquered. Sometimes you conquer a place, the people who are conquered never take the religion of the people who conquered them. They always have a certain degree of animosity. But the people of North Africa from that particular time, the Berbers, have always remained steadfast upon Islam. They took, because Islam was such a beautiful religion, it showed them the beauty, it showed them akhlaq. So Hazrat Hassan Hussein radiallahu anhu took part in the jihad in the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu. There was a time needed to go and fight in the Central Asian Republic, where all of these things became Bukhara, Samarkand, Uzbekistan, became under Islamic influence. Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu took part in that. When there was a siege of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala's, you know, house, Hazrat Hassan Hussein were actually, they were amongst those who were guarding the house. And they used to complain to Uthman. They said, give us permission to fight against these rebels. There are a few hundred. That time the Muslims were the superpower of the earth. And who was the Khalifa of that? Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. And he could have just, with one command, told the Sahaba, fight against this rebel and take them away from Medina. But because they called themselves Muslims, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala had that waqar and dignity that he didn't want to be the first to spill Islamic blood. Just look at it. Therefore we say in the khutbah, kamil al-haya'i wal-waqar. The one who was perfect in modesty and dignity. What dignity he had. What love for the ummah he had. He said, I'm not going to spill the blood of a Muslim for my sake. And in that, he sacrificed his life. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu was to make a very similar statement as I will go on to make mention of. Uthman radiallahu anhu passed away tragically. Ali radiallahu anhu's khilafat was full of trials and challenges. And someone has very beautifully said, I'm going to try and keep it, you know, these things will take long. But we're just trying to give you a gist of what actually happened. Someone has very beautifully said, the greatest tragedy of history is not when truth confronts batil. When truth confronts falsehood, there has always been a situation. There is no tragedy in that. In fact, that is part and parcel of our legacy, truth confronting for falsehood. See, the greatest tragedy in history is when truth confronts truth. The greatest tragedy in history is when truth confronts truth. And that happened in the time of Ali radiallahu anhu, where there was a civil war between Muslims. Not only between Muslims, between people who were both sides were Jannatis. Both sides were Jannati. On one side was Talha and Zubair. Talha fil Jannah, Zubair fil Jannah. One was Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the beloved wife of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Other side was Ali radiallahu anha, Aliun fil Jannah. But yet, the people, the Munafiq, took advantage when they were about to reach a conclusion, to reach a settlement. They couldn't bear the settlement because the settlement would have been the reason for their downfall. Right? Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu and Talha and Zubair radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu agreed that the people who were behind the martyrdom of Uthman radiallahu anhu, we would make an earnest attempt to find them out. They realized that they were the people. So they created more tension and they created the fight. Anyway, it's a long story. It's someone else. Be very careful, my dear respected brothers. Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi had said, be very careful in discussing and describing the war and the difference of opinion. And the mushajarat, the disputes of the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala ajma'in. We keep our silence. Because we don't want to say anything which will be disrespectful to any companion of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the fight between Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Talha and Zubair, and Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, we are very, very careful. We do feel and we do say, our ulama have said, Ali radiallahu ta'ala was on truth. He was closer to the truth. But the other side also were trying to find a solution to a situation that came about. We don't condemn them. We say Ali radiallahu anhu was closer towards the truth. He was the fourth Khalifa, and we have the greatest respect for him. Aghdahum Ali, the one who had the greatest, the one who the judge of this ummah was Ali radiallahu anhu. But of course, there was a civil war that broke about. And just to give you an example with regard to it, there was an elderly Sahabi during the course of the Battle of Siffin. He came across Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. And he told Hazrat Hussein, oh Hussein, stay away from me. I don't want to harm you. I saw Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kissing you. How do you expect me to do anything that is harmful towards you? Anyway, this was a tragic event and a tragic part of our history. As I said, the greatest tragedy is not when haq and truth confronts falsehood. The greatest tragedy is when truth confronts truth. But, you know, there was a very amazing thing. After that, after Ali radiallahu anhu passed away, he was martyred. Ali radiallahu anhu gave some amazing advices to his children. And he said, oh my dear children, I advise you firmly to hold on to taqwa. Speak the truth whether you are pleased or whether you are angry. Oh my children, whoever dug a well for his brother to harm him, he will fall first into it. Don't do something that will harm other people, you will harm yourself. Whoever is impressed with his own opinion, he has lost his way. Whoever feels independent that my intelligence will guide me, he has slipped away from the right path. Gave them advice. Ali radiallahu anhu passed on. Then came a time that Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu for 6 months was the Khalifa, and that completed that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Khilafat al-Rashida will be for 30 years. Thereafter, there will be kingdom. Now, kingdom will not be to the extent of the virtue and superiority of the Khulafa al-Rashidin. But that doesn't mean all the kings that came into Islamic history, all of them were terrible. There was a kingdom and there was a monarchy that started. But many of them were great people, they served Islam. You know, Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi, look at what his piety was. Anyway, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they said there were 90,000 people who pledged allegiance to Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu to fight against Muawiyah. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu decided to make peace with Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied this when he said to Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, some indication, some hadith makes mention that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a special place in his heart for Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, and he said one day, this grandson of mine is a Sayyid, he's a leader. Because of him, two great bodies of Muslims and armies of Muslims will achieve reconciliation. Because of him, two great bodies of Muslims will achieve reconciliation. What did he say? Two great bodies, that means both of them were Muslims. Both of them were praised by our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala would bring them together. And Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because of this peace treaty, gave over his right of khilafat to Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu ruled for 27 years. Those 27 years were one of the most amazing years of prosperity for Muslims. The Muslim reach in the time of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu reached right up to the doorsteps of Europe and right up till, you know, Asia. Almost the entire known world were under the influence of Muslims in the time of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, because there was unity, there was prosperity, there was barakah. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, this grandson of mine is a Sayyid, he's a leader. And because of him, Muslims will become reconciled and they will achieve peace. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala in this particular regard made an amazing statement. He said, I don't want authority to the extent of a mustard seed. If that particular authority is derived on the blood of Muslims. I don't want power and leadership to the extent of authority over a mustard seed. If that particular power and authority of mine is derived from the blood of Muslims. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala went for peace. And that gave tremendous amount of barakah to the Muslims. And Hazrat Mu'abul Hassan Nabi rahmatullah alayhi has written an amazing thing. He said, Hassan radiallahu ta'ala took the road of peace. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala took another way, as you will come to read. He said, both of them were right in their respective times. Both of them, the positions they adopted were correct in their respective times. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala in his time, what he did was correct. Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, what he did in his time was correct. And how could I explain it more better than this particular hadith and this narration that I read? Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala one day came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. And she said, oh my father, oh Prophet of Almighty Allah, make dua for my children. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I made dua for them. And then he said, Hassan has been given my dignity and authority. Hussein has been given my generosity and my courage. What a beautiful statement. Hassan has been given my dignity and authority and my leadership. And Hussein has been given my generosity and my courage. After Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala passed away, for several reasons, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala chose his son Yazid as his successor. Perhaps one of the reasons the ulama have given, there was 27 years of prosperity. Muawiyah had seen the civil war that had broke up after the death of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala felt that if there is going to be stability in leadership, it will keep the Muslim Ummah together. And because of that, that prosperity that was there for 27 years may continue. And it must not happen that because of what had happened after the death of Usman, the martyrdom of Usman radiallahu ta'ala, there must be another civil war. He chose and he made ijtihad. Allah knows best with regard to his ijtihad. Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu opposed that. And one of the reasons why he opposed it, Hazrat Mufti Razaul Aksab, Madazilul Ali has written, that one of the reasons why he felt that this particular situation of leadership passing from father to son is against the earlier ways of the Muslim Ummah. So Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu opposed it. He was called in Medina to make bet by the governor of Medina. He then went to Mecca, and when he was in Mecca, he decided to go to Iraq, because the people of Iraq had sent him great amount of letters saying that we are in need of leadership, you come to Iraq. So when he was on his way to Iraq, the people pleaded with him. His own people, Abdullah ibn Abbas, wrote him a letter and said, "Oh my cousin, I won't allow you, I can't remain silent for you to go to this particular place. You know the people of Iraq betrayed your father. Why are you doing the same thing?" Abdullah ibn Ja'far radiallahu ta'anhu did the same thing. And he said, Oh my cousin, you are my cousin. How can I allow you to do something like that? You know what has happened." Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'anhu said, "They have called me. They have called me towards the calling, I have to go." He sent Muslim bin Aqil. Muslim bin Aqil was his cousin. Muslim bin Aqil went, and the people gave him a rousing welcome. Right? And when they gave him a rousing welcome, he wrote a letter to Hussein, "Things are good here, come here. Maybe because of that we can change the whole situation that has arisen. Maybe we can change it for the better." But you see, sometimes people's loyalty goes with the wind. When Muslim bin Aqil, there was a change of governorship. First there was someone who was there, the governor. Someone wrote to Yazid and said that this particular governor is very soft, so he put Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, called him from Basra to become the governor of Kufa. And this is something that we have to take into account. It was Yazid who appointed Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. Although later on riwayat say that he was not happy with Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad to do what he did, but he appointed Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. What Allah knows best. So when he appointed Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, right, he chose a very harsh line. And he threatened the people of Kufa. It is said that Muslim bin Aqil had 18,000, 20,000, 40,000 people who followed him. And when there was force that was put upon Muslim bin Aqil, slowly, slowly that great amount of force dissipated. And Muslim bin Aqil was left alone in the house of Hani ibn Urwa. He was summoned, and he also couldn't do anything, and Muslim bin Aqil was executed. In that particular time, he sent 18,000 people of Kufa, and according to one riwayat, 40,000 people were with Muslim bin Aqil. But when they was force put, they changed their loyalties. He wrote a letter to Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. He came to know what Muslim bin Aqil's martyrdom. He made mashwara with the people. Initially, there was a few that let us go back to Makkah. Right, and that was what many people, like Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Ja'far said, "Stay in Makkah. The people respect you here. They love you here. No one will be able to harm you. Perhaps you can work for change within you. Allah knows best." But you see, when Allah Ta'ala decides something, then Allah Ta'ala makes the way open for that decision of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has predicted. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was told why one sahabi came and said, "Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me my grandson, my child, one of my children will be martyred by my own people, by their own Muslims." So Hassan radiallahu anhu passed by. Sahabi said, "This son." He said, "Not this son." Hussein radiallahu anhu passed by. He said, "This son." Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu smiled. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention that this is going to happen. Hazrat Salma radiallahu anhu said, one day she got up, she said, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up while sleeping all of a sudden in a state of shock. "Ya Rasulullah, what happened?" "Allah Ta'ala showed me that my grandson was going to be killed by my ummah." And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I can even show you the color of the sand, which is red in color, where my grandson will be martyred." So when Allah Ta'ala decides something, then those particular things happen according to the decision of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala comes to a place of Karbala. When he comes to know the name of the place, Karbala, which one word means bala, you know, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala was not happy. He presented three things. "Take me to Yazid, I will sort my matter out with Yazid. Take me to the nearest border, where I will go and fight against the non-Muslims. Why should I fight against the Muslims? Or take me back and allow me to go to back to Makkah. Numan ibn Bashir, that particular time, the people were there said, this is an ideal opportunity to bring reconciliation. They wrote to Ubaydullah bin Ziyad, Allah Ta'ala has extinguished the fires of war. Here we have a situation of peace and reconciliation. Shimr bin Jawshan, who was among the very, you know, the people who was forefront in the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu anhu, said, don't allow him to go away. Don't allow him to go. Here you have him. He's in such a situation. If you allow him to go, he will get away. So he did not allow Ubaydullah bin Ziyad in that particular situation. The whole incident is a very long incident. Eventually, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, with a small group of people, they had to fight against a couple of thousand people. 72 of the Ahlul Bayt fought against a couple of thousands. And Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu saw slowly, you know, his own very close people from the Ahlul Bayt passing away in front of him. You know, passing away in front of him. Mention is made that out of the people who had passed away in Karbala, six were his own brothers. Six were his own brothers. The children of Ali radiallahu anhu. Two were his own children, Ali Akbar and Abdullah. Right? Three were Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu's children, his nephews. One of them was Qasim. Qasim was very, very handsome. When Qasim passed away, Hussein radiallahu anhu cried tremendously. And he said, oh my nephew, as an uncle I should have come to your protection, but I couldn't. Allah knows best with regard to this. I couldn't come to your protection. Two of the children of Abdullah ibn Ja'far and three were the children of Aqil ibn Abi Talib. His whole family was dissipated in front of him. A narrator said, I never ever saw a person in my life who was so downcasted and downhearted after seeing his family been martyred in front of him, but yet he was so resolute and he was so brave that towards the end alone he fought against thousands, and he fought until when they counted the wounds in front of him, 63 wounds. Just before he passed away, he had a little child was born, a small child that was on his lap. They told him to make dua for the small child, and while he was making dua, an arrow came and pierced the throat of the small child. And blood was on the hands of Hussein radiallahu anhu. And he looked up towards the sky and he said, Ya Allah, you become happy. If this is what you have decided for us, you know best. And Allah, grant me your pleasure. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Ta'if, when he came away, what did he say? Allahumma ilayka ashku dhu'fa quwwati wa qillati hilati wa awani wa nas. إِلَّمْ تَكُنْ سَاخِتًا عَلَيَّ فَلَا أُبَالِي. After Ta'if, Nabi Karim Sallallahu said, oh Allah, whatever has happened, as long as you are pleased and you are not happy, I have no problem with whatever has been dished out to me, whatever has been done to me. As Hussein radiallahu anhu said the same, oh Allah, as long as you are pleased and this is your decision, I am prepared to accept it. And as Hussein radiallahu anhu was martyred on the 10th of Muharram. And brothers, this is something that we all feel pain. Who wouldn't feel pain? And the passing away and the martyrdom of such a great person who was so close to our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hussein Nabi was not only great in his martyrdom, he had some amazing qualities. One narrator said, I saw Hazrat Hussein Nabi at the time of Hajj giving people Zamzam water. He was the one pouring the water of Zamzam and giving all the Hajjis. And the time came and people were making, you know, Azan came. And Hussein Nabi said, people, leave me alone, let us read namaz first, I'll come back and give you Zamzam water. He was known for his generosity. When you read incidents about his generosity, you will be amazed how Hussein radiallahu anhu used to give people. One day someone came and write to him something about his needs. Right? And Hussein radiallahu anhu, when a person came and he gave him the letter, Hussein radiallahu anhu gave him whatever he wanted to give him, gave him more than what he expected. So people ask Hussein, you didn't even read what he had written and you gave him. He said, I feel ashamed to humiliate him to read about his knees in front of him. I feel ashamed that I must read his knees in front of him. I gave him before I even read about his knees. So he is not only exemplary in his martyrdom, he was exemplary in his life. You know, one Sahabi said, I saw two people that when Quran was being recited, the way they used to cry, You know, it was, and when the ayats of Jahannam was recited, they used to cry as if those ayats were referring to them directly. One was Hazrat Hasan radiallahu anhu, one was Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, and one was Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah. This is how he had the fear of Allah, despite being amongst those that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sayyida Shabab ya Ahlil Jannah, that the leader of the youth on the day of Qiyamah will be Hasan and Hussein. And then you were martyred in this particular way. In conclusion, let me say, obviously we feel hurt, but you see, if we feel hurt at the passing away and at their death, then that particular life was sacrificed by them themselves, by their own volition, by their own actions, or by reaching out. They fought for that particular martyrdom. So while we feel hurt with regard to the passing away and their death, but that death is a very Mubarak death. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. Never call a person who passes away in the path of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاءُ, they are alive. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, but you can't perceive their life. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا, the ayat which I recited in the introduction, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا أَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Allah is never unaware of what the zalimin did. Those people who did, Sinan bin Abdullah, Shamar ibn Jawshan, they were in the initial stages. They were the people who were in the forefront of martyring, and they were in the forefront of being amongst those who martyred Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. After Hussein radiallahu anhu passed away, there was a movement known as the movement of the repenters. So the people who were in Kufa, you know, they felt that, you know, how did we allow Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu to be martyred in such a way? So that particular movement came, and that movement came and said, anyone who was in the least responsible for Hussein radiallahu anhu's martyrdom, they went, you can kill them. They took one by one and they killed them. And there was a dua of Hussein radiallahu anhu towards the end of his life and said, oh Allah, those people who are responsible, take one, each and every one of them, and ya Allah, deal with them appropriately. So anyone who was responsible, we are 100% sure, whoever it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with them. Whether it be, you know, this whole particular aspect of whether it was Yazid, who it was, whoever it is. Right? Some people say that he didn't know about it. Some people say he knew about it. Some people said, well, it happened under his authority, under his bidding. He is the one who appointed Ubaydullah bin Ziyad. Whatever it is, all we are saying, it is not going to help us in any way cursing anyone. Hazrat Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi was asked that, oh my son, his son Ahmad ibn Hanbal asked him once, he said, oh my son, oh my father, what do you say about Yazid? Do you say anything? He said, what can we say about Yazid? There is no one who praises Yazid. He said, why don't you curse him? He said, oh my son, do you ever see me cursing anyone? Do you ever see me cursing? It's not our way to curse people. Allah Ta'ala will deal with them, whoever it is. But all we are saying, whoever it is, Allah Ta'ala will deal with them. Allah is not unaware of what the ghafil zalimin have done. And we all know that. That's why we believe in the concept of the hereafter. وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْعَمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ وَالَّذِينَ عَمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَلَلْمُسِيرُ. The person who is blind and the person who see are not equal. Those who do righteous deeds, those who do evil deeds are not equal. Don't you think about this? Those who do evil deeds and righteous deeds are not equal. So we see in this world people who do righteous deeds, they have been oppressed. Look at what happened to the children of Gaza. Huh? Look at what's happening to Gaza. Those who are righteous, go and look at their lives. What have they got? But they have been oppressed, they have been killed. And those people who are the oppressors, they are apparently living a life of luxury. So don't you think about this? If you think about this, you will come to the conclusion. There has to be a day in which Allah Ta'ala will deal with people with justice. It doesn't happen in this world, because this dunya is not a place of justice. This dunya is a place of amal. This dunya is only for you. To give an example, when you're writing an exam, right? When you're writing an exam, if a teacher sees a student writing a wrong answer, he won't correct him. Why? He sees an exam. So he won't even correct him while he's writing something that is wrong. Why? Because it's an examination. So here in this world, that's the same thing. Allah sometimes won't stop a zalim from doing this zulm, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his own particular method and wisdom with regard to what happens. So Allah allows them deal. Allah allows them rope to a certain extent. One day he will pull that rope. When he pulls that rope, then you will see what will happen. وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ أَنْ أَفِيضُوا عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ أَوْ مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ. The people of Jahannam, Allah will lift the veil for a certain period of time. And the people of Jahannam will tell the people of Jannah, give us one drop of water. We don't have water in Jahannam. Give us one drop of water. إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَهُمَا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah will tell the angels to reply, it is haram upon the disbeliever to get one drop of water. The day is coming. We have to understand, and we have to understand the concept of Allah Ta'ala's justice. It doesn't necessarily happen in this world. And lastly, let me say, whenever you and I, we feel weak, we're finding it difficult to comply with the commands of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find it difficult to comply with the commands of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the life of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu gives us great amount of courage. You finding it difficult to comply with little bit of commands of Almighty Allah? Look at what Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu did. He sacrificed his life. His whole family was sacrificed in front of him. Whenever we feel weak, whenever we feel a little bit of difficulty in complying with the commands of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever we find challenges, the example of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala is supposed to inspire us, motivate us. And that is always that even said, Islam zinda hota hai har Karbala ke baad. We have heard about it. Islam becomes alive after Karbala. We draw inspiration from the great sacrifice of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. His status, what Allah Ta'ala has granted him because of, you know, being shaheed, we can't imagine it. Huh? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, I wish that my life is taken in the path of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then it is returned back, and then again my life is sacrificed in the path of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then again my life is brought back, and again my life is sacrificed in the path of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My ustad Hazrat Mufti Waliyullah Sahib rahmatullah alayhi say that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this desire, and normally the desire of the Nabi of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, normally makes it complete, makes it get done. Why didn't it get done in this way? My ustad Mufti Waliyullah Sahib rahmatullah alayhi told us in class, Hussein minni wa ana min Hussein. Hussein is from me, I am from Hussein. The martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala is a small indication of the martyrdom, what of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's desire. Huh? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted it. Allah Ta'ala, you know, in a small way, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hussein it from me, Allah Ta'ala granted martyrdom to Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His status is beyond our imagination. And we draw inspiration. May Allah give us the tawfiq of understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa mawlana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam. Tabarakta rabbana wa ta'ala ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Allahumma maghfiratuka awsa'u min dhunubina wa rahmatuka arja indana min a'malina. Allahumma thabbitna 'ala al-iman wa amitna 'ala al-iman wa ahshurna yawm al-qiyamati ma'a al-muttaqina ma'a al-iman. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ridhaaka wal jannah wa na'udhu bika min sakhatika wal nar. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.